Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're digging into something we're calling your talent tapestry. It's essentially this unique mix of your passions, your purpose, you know, how you create value, profit, and your skills.
Right.
And our goal today really is just to help you, the listener, sort of identify and then actually use this mix. Could be for work, could be for, you know, personal fulfillment.
Yeah, it's a really neat concept. And it actually, it sort of grew out of this chat we had about Usain Bolt.
Oh, right.
Yeah, like what made him so good? Obviously, the raw physical talent was there. Huge part of it.
Sure, undeniable.
But it wasn't just that, was it? It was his, like, intense passion, the team he had around him, how his goals lined up with his values.
It all came together.
Exactly. And the talent tapestry, well, it takes that idea, that blend driving deformance, and applies much more broadly to, well, everyone.
Absolutely. And look, to make this feel real, I can share a bit from my own journey. Some folks know I qualified for the Ironman Worlds in Hawaii not long ago.
Which is amazing, by the way.
Well, thanks. But the thing is, maybe 12 years back, that idea would have been laughable. Completely impossible.
Right.
I mean, I was nearly 3 stone heavier. What's that, like 42 pounds?
Yeah.
Never run more than maybe 6 miles. Hadn't touched a bike since I was a kid. And swimming, let's just say I wasn't exactly buoyant.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The thought of just running a marathon felt like, I don't know, some kind of torture method.
And that's what makes the story so good.
Okay.
That starting point. Going from there to an Ironman, it really shows what's possible when you, you know, tap into the right things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want to do today for everyone listening. Pull out the key bits from that journey, other ideas, make it clear, give you those aha moments without, you know, drowning you in detail.
Okay, so let's dive in a bit. For me, the big shift, the real catalyst, was probably a Tony Robbins workshop.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. He has this way of getting you to connect with the why, the deep reason behind needing to change. It wasn't just, oh, I should lose weight.
Right, not superficial.
No, it was much bigger. It was about wanting to be there, like really there and energetic for my kids growing up, enjoying life with them.
That's powerful.
And he uses this process, the Dickens process, he calls it. It's this visualization thing.
Okay.
You imagine, like, really vividly the future if you change and the future if you don't, the good and the bad. It makes it feel super real, super fast.
And that's so often the missing piece, isn't it? We focus on the what,
yeah,
the diet plan, the exercise routine.
Exactly.
But without that deep why, that motivation, the what just falls apart eventually. Understanding why gives you the leverage. That's the key.
Totally agree. So with that why burning, I actually started setting goals. One of the first kind of big ones for me then was doing a 100-mile bike ride.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
From not riding since childhood.
Yeah. And this connects to something I used back then, my Limitless Life Planner. Sounds grand, but it was just a way to break big goals down, track things.
A system.
Right. And nailing that bike ride, it showed me, okay, this structured approach works. And maybe I could apply it elsewhere, not just fitness.
And it's that step-by-step thing again.
Yeah.
You didn't just jump straight to Ironman.
Oh, wait.
You set that big, maybe slightly crazy 3-year goal.
Felt very crazy at the time.
Right. But you have the stepping stones, the sprint trust,
yeah,
the Olympic distance, then the half Ironman,
yeah,
building up.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I read Rich Roll's book, Finding Ultra.
Oh, great book.
Yeah, really inspiring. And his training partner, the guy with one arm doing incredible stuff, that just blew my mind, made my goals seem, well, possible.
It puts things in perspective, doesn't it?
Definitely. So that long-term Ironman vision was there, even though, yeah, starting from only ever running 6 miles felt ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But having those shorter targets, the sprints, the Olympic, they made the huge thing feel manageable piece by piece. And to keep track, I started using Training Peaks.
Oh, yeah. Popular platform.
It let me measure everything, plan the training load.
And that's got such a clear parallel in business, right? The whole successful business scorecard idea.
Totally.
It's that principle. What gets measured gets done,
yeah,
or managed. Just bringing awareness to it, whether it's training hours or sales figures, makes you more likely to hit the target.
Yeah.
It creates that feedback loop.
Which leads right into habits. Compound habits specifically.
Oh,
crucial. For me, leading up to that first Ironman, the biggest game changer was probably just the habit of getting up early. Sounds simple, right?
Deceptively simple.
But it suddenly created the time, consistent time for training, building endurance. It wasn't about occasional epic sessions. It was the daily grind, the consistency.
The compound effect.
Exactly. And the result, first Ironman, I finished in 11 hours and 1 minute. My goal was under 12.
Smashed it.
Yeah. But you know what? My first thought crossing the line was, okay, where can I improve? What did I mess up?
Uh-huh. typical.
Yeah.
A constant drive. But the lesson there for listeners is the power of those small, regular actions adding up.
For sure. And that whole experience, it kind of led to me starting my triathlon podcast, which eventually turned into the Business of Endurance podcast.
Right. The evolution.
And that became this amazing way to explore this talent tapestry idea more broadly.
How so?
Incredible, unique combinations of skills and life experiences that let them do amazing things.
Uh-huh.
But I also learned a lesson myself about focus. I got distracted by, you know, the shiny object syndrome.
Yes, we all know that one.
Started doing ultra marathons, other different endurance stuff. Fun, yeah. But my Ironman times dipped and I started getting injured more.
Spreading yourself too thin.
Exactly. I realized I needed to get back to the core focus if I wanted real mastery in that area.
That's such a key point for everyone, isn't it? Exploring is fine, but mastery often needs that dedicated focus. Diluting your energy holds you back from excelling where it counts most.
So I made a really deliberate choice. Refocus on Ironman. And the specific goal became qualifying for Kona, the world champs.
The big one.
Yeah. And this is where, funny enough, a business idea helped. The ideal client concept.
How did you apply that?
Well, I worked with my coach. We sat down and really analyzed me as an athlete, strengths, weaknesses, what kind of courses suit me.
Okay.
And based on that, we looked at all the different Ironman races globally and picked the one that gave me the mathematically best chance to qualify.
So strategic race selection.
Oh.
Like choosing a target market.
Exactly. We landed on Ironman South Africa.
Had a result.
Finished fourth in my age group, got the Kona slot.
Fantastic. See, that strategic focus, rather than just hoping for the best at any random race, that made the difference.
Absolutely. And looking back, it hit me. The things I did for Ironman, the habits, the clear goals, picking the ideal race, measuring everything, finding that initial why.
Yeah.
They're the exact same principles we talk about for business success all the time. It's all linked.
That's a huge takeaway. These core principles are universal.
Right. We even talked about the why beneath the why, like an even deeper motivation. We should probably do a whole deep dive just on that leverage idea sometime.
Definitely. But that universality, it means these tools work whether you're training for a race or building a company. It's about finding those drivers and using them smartly.
Yeah.
And that point about progress, not perfection. So important.
Oh, massively. It was never about being perfect from day one. It was constant tweaking, looking for those small gains, figuring out what worked, what didn't.
Original gains.
Yeah. I even created these detailed, outstanding operations for triathlon, like super specific race nutrition plans. Nerdy, maybe, but it was about mastering the process.
It's easy to overestimate what you can do in a short burst, isn't it?
Totally. But we massively underestimate what consistent, steady progress can achieve over the long run.
So let's make this talent tapestry idea even clearer with some examples. Think about Steve Jobs.
Okay.
He had this incredible eye for design,
yep.
Right? Probably from his dad being a cabinet maker, his calligraphy studies.
Or the aesthetics.
Combined with tech knowledge. And this almost uncanny insight into what people wanted before they knew it themselves, that blend, it changed everything.
Powerful combination.
Or J.K. Rowling, lifelong passion for stories since childhood, plus her education in classics, her own tough life experiences, maybe even dyslexia playing a role. It all wove together into Harry Potter's world.
Yeah, you can see the threads.
And someone like Darren Brown, art. Mentalism, hypnosis, magic, blended into something totally unique.
He's fascinating.
And think about the guests on the Business of Endurance podcast. So many stories of people pivoting, finding new paths later on.
Yeah, like Nikki Spinks, finding felt running after 50 after cancer.
Incredible. Or Helen Davies, teacher turned sports psych. Carrie Sutton, ultra runner after kids. Elizabeth Barnes, ultra runner who became a sexologist consultant.
It shows it's never too late to reweave that tapestry, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Which also makes you think about that 10,000-hour rule.
Right. Putting in the time leads to expertise.
Yeah, like the guy who founded Hub Wetsuits. 20 years in the triathlon industry before starting his own company. That deep knowledge was his foundation.
Makes sense.
But then Malcolm Gladwell's point in Outliers adds nuance. It's not just the hours.
Opportunity matters, too.
Exactly. Bill Gates put in the hours, no doubt. But having that super early, almost unique access to a computer, his school offering time sharing, that was a massive opportunity multiplier.
Right place, right time, and the dedication.
It's the combination, which brings us back to focus on passion and purpose.
Because the other stuff can creep in, can't it, as businesses grow or projects get bigger?
Yeah, the admin, the tasks that don't light you up, they drain you. They pull you away from your core.
So you've got to actively fight that. Find ways to ditch the distractions, reconnect with what really drives you. Like for me, wanting to shift from general financial advice towards coaching, that was about getting back to my core passion.
And delegation is a huge part of that, isn't it?
Yeah.
The script mentions hiring a PA or VA early on.
Yeah, freeing up your time for your unique stuff, the things only you can do, the things you love.
It's where you add the most value, usually. That analogy of the kangaroo, fish, and monkey taking the same test.
Oh, I love that one.
It's perfect. All right. Trying to make everyone average at everything means no one gets to be world-class at their actual strength. Focus on what you're built for.
But it's hard. That statistic. Something like 95% of people don't think they can make a living from their passion.
It's stark, isn't it? Only 5% believe it's possible.
Imagine the value, the fulfillment, if more people could align passion and profession.
It requires belief, but also self-awareness, knowing your strengths.
Which is where tools come in. Like Colby, understanding your instinctive way of solving problems.
Or the strategic coach unique ability process. Asking people you trust, what do you see as uniquely my ability? That can be really insightful.
Yeah, getting that outside perspective. The workbook they mentioned sounds useful too.
Definitely. And then there's that beautiful Japanese concept, ikigai.
Ah, yes. Your reason for being.
Right. That sweet spot where what you love, what you're good at, what you can get paid for, and what the world needs all overlap.
Finding that intersection. That's the goal, really. Maximum value, maximum fulfillment.
And one more useful concept, the talent sack from Scott Adams, the Dilbert guy.
Okay, what's that?
His idea is you don't need to be top 1% in one thing to be world class.
Right.
You could be, say, top 25% pretty good at two or three different complementary skills.
Right.
And that combination makes you unique and valuable.
Like the example of financial planning, plus business coaching, plus fitness expertise.
Exactly. Each one on its own is valuable, but the stack, the blend, creates something really distinct.
So listeners should think about their own potential stack. What skills do they have that are maybe above average that could combine uniquely?
Precisely. Which leads us to wrapping up. For everyone listening, really take some time. Reflect on your own talent tapestry.
Yeah, think about, what are you passionate about? What gives you purpose? How do you make money, create value now? And what are your actual skills, your proficiencies?
Brainstorm it all. Business, personal life, everything. Ask yourself, how could my unique mix solve problems or create opportunities differently?
How can you bring more of what you love into what you do every day? Where's the excitement, the curiosity for you? What can you offer that no one else quite can?
And here's a practical exercise to try. Based on that reflection, jot down 3 things to start doing and 3 things to stop doing.
Start and stop. Simple but powerful.
Yeah. Could be small tweaks, could be big pivots. It's just about taking that first step to align your actions with your unique tapestry.
Because understanding this and actually using it, it's incredibly powerful for work, for life. Hopefully this deep dive gave you a framework, some inspiration to start exploring.
Absolutely. And maybe a final thought to leave you with. Thinking about that talent stack idea.
Okay.
Just consider all the different skills and interests you have right now, even the ones that seem totally unrelated. What if you combine just 2 or 3 of them in a way nobody expects? What kind of unique, maybe even world-class potential could that unlock? Something you haven't even imagined yet.
That's definitely something to chew on. A great place to leave it.